This is the Freedom Fiends, free minds and free markets. Yeah, I know that's Reason Magazine's motto, but we're stealing it. We're just going to straight up steal Reason Magazine's
motto. And we're not
going to
say where we got it.
Not after that's tonight. Right. Yeah. So, Davi and MK, Davi Barker and MK Lords, why are we stealing Reason's motto?
Well, in natural law theory, once a person has stolen, they open themselves up to being stolen from. And since they have apparently just completely appropriated Cards Against Humanity from our friend Jim Jesus and published whatever Reason Against Humanity or something like that, they've opened themselves up to appropriation of their intellectual property.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's only fair.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, there's obviously, we don't believe in intellectual property, but we do believe in attribution. And I think it's pretty cheesy and kind of sleazy that a few weeks after Jim Jesus came out with his didn't make any money at it, did it only as a labor of love, worked his butt off to come up with this Libertarians Against Humanity thing. I helped him a lot. I put in a lot of free labor on it. And all I got was the lousy deck of cards. No, it's a wonderful deck of cards. Actually, I got volume one and two. And you could go to libertariansagainsthumanity.com to get decks and finance more decks and all sorts of stuff. I mean, Jim really worked incredibly hard on an extremely original idea and did an incredibly good job making it beautiful and did it as a labor of love, worked on it full-time in addition to having a full-time job. And then today, Reason Magazine did the same thing.
Yeah, so there's the possibility of like spontaneous innovation that maybe they just had the same idea and it wasn't a reference to Jim Jesus. The only thing that makes me think that's not the case is that they kind of quote the Freedom Fiends on their cards.
Which one? They paraphrase several of Jim's cards, a few of them I helped write. And, you know, again, it's like I'm not going to send a DMCA and, you know, the whole thing was released Creative Commons, but it was released Creative Commons attribution. So they should at least give his name. And actually Jim contacted, or somebody contacted on the Jim's behalf, the guy who came up with this deck for Reason. And he was like, oh, I have no idea, man. Sorry. And he tweeted Jim's Cards Against Humanity, which is pretty cool. But yeah, man, which one are you talking about?
Cocaine in vending machines. I feel like we say that all the time as a kind of libertarian macho flash about the war on drugs.
We say that in a libertarian paradise, there would be heroin vending machines in privately owned middle schools as long as the vending machines were privately owned and operated, that'd be okay.
Yeah. But,
I mean, that's not an original idea. That's kind of the definition of... I appropriated that, and I don't know who said it, but if I knew, I'd certainly credit them. So, yeah, I mean, there's really no, like, crime here. I'm just kind of like, oh, what? I feel the same way MK when she said, what she wrote back in her email when I said this. You said, oh, Reason.
Reason, bless your heart.
Your heart, you Beltway libertarian squares. You know, you're what people who are afraid to be called radicals like to read. And, you know, there's some libertarian stuff in there occasionally when you're not, you know, pimping for Rand Paul or whatever.
Aww.
Yeah.
I guess they just needed a more Beltway card deck. I mean, some of these cards
deck is
are
pretty
sort
Beltway.
Of, They're, you know, like one of them says, F you, cut spending. I'm like, I don't want to just cut spending. That's what kind of card is that?
Yeah. And Jim wouldn't say F you either. And I got to say, Jim Jesus probably cusses less than most people. But when he does, he does it for a reason. And he's not afraid to do it. You know, this is like the tepid, the tepid version of cussing. Yeah. So square.
This is Minarchists Against Humanity. That's what this
it should be called. Minarchists Against Humanity. That is funny, man. Yeah. Yeah, there were several that kind of copied the ones from Jim's deck. The cocaine and vending machines one. The what were the other two? There was something about a pocket constitution. Jim had something about a pocket constitution.
And they have Judge Napolitano's pocket
well,
constitution.
Well, it's kind of funny because like Jim wrote the Pocket Constitution thing, like making fun of people who, you know, Jim and our co-host Lou Sanderfine are really big on the Pocket Constitution joke. Like there's some quote about that. Somebody said that like people who carry a constitution remind them of dogs who carry their leash around in their neck or in their right. mouth. And, you know, the idea is like the Constitution doesn't really grant you rights. And in fact, it limits them in a lot of ways. And it's sold as this great, you know, liberator and giver of freedoms. But it's really quite the opposite, the way it's turned out and the way it was written. But, the Pocket Constitution thing that Jim put in there is making fun of people who carry a pocket constitution. And I think this is not making fun of people because it says Judge Napolitano's Pocket Constitution. And hasn't Judge Napolitano written for Reason? Isn't he like a big friend of Reason?
He's a big old Beltway libertarian. That's what he is. Yeah.
He's one of my favorites.
One of the good guys.
He's one of my favorites. You know, I got to say, if I put on a minarchist hat for a minute, like he's one of the really only consistent ones. You know, he's the kind of guy that's like absolutely appalled at drugs, but would be fine with heroin and vending machines, probably. You know,
this is a Michael W. Dean quote, isn't it? Gay married couples protecting their marijuana plants with guns.
That was the name of an article in Reason magazine. I think Nima Vedati said that like 4 years ago on The Fiends. I think that they keep The Fiends in the background for source material over at Reason magazine.
I think the free market solution here is that Jim Jesus should figure out what it costs him to make a deck, up at 30%, call Reason and offer to make cards for them.
Or I think he should just make a deck called Reason Magazine Against Humanity. That just makes fun of the minarchist work within the system. Like, hey, I'm a cool guy in a leather jacket. What's up, ladies? You know, like, what's that guy's name? Nick.
Hey, listen, all the flavors of libertarians can create their own versions of libertarians against humanity.
That's one of the cards.
You can have so many kinds.
This is one of the cards. Nick Gillespie's black leather jacket. I was making fun of him, but they put it in there. Okay. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Ayn Rand's social security check.
Ludwig von Mises calling Milton Friedman a socialist. One of Jim's cards is, you're all a bunch of, Mises says,
yeah, you're all a bunch of blank.
That's one of Jim's ones. Let's see, Cheeto Crumbs, Strip Mine of the Moon. There's something about moving to Somalia. They have one about that. Barry Goldwater's reanimated corpse. There's one that we had that's on the website that was never used, but it's Ronald Reagan's reanimated corpse. Yeah, gay married couples getting 3D printed bazookas. Judge Napolitano. Yeah, there's two others in here that were definitely in the gym deck. I think I wrote them to you guys. What were they?
I'm not sure.
Oh, the
bunker full of canned goods and ammo.
Yeah. There's one very similar to that in Jim's deck. And you know, you could say great minds think alike, but I just think it looks to me like someone at Reason Magazine saw this thing, maybe even subconsciously in the back of their head, and thought they were creating something. And yeah, it was a pretty original idea that Jim had, you know? Hadn't been done. It's pretty popular, but it wasn't Reason popular. You know, Reason is going to sell more of these in 5 minutes than Jim struggled to sell probably in 6 months, 4 months working on this.
Well, it doesn't look like they're selling them. It looks like they just made a PDF.
Oh, okay.
Download them and cut them out yourself.
Oh.
That's why I think Jim should make them for him. He should profit from their work.
Yeah, because Jim has the...
Or he should just steal them and add them to his deck.
He should just steal them, man. And so free minds and free markets is the motto of Reason Magazine. And it used to be, you know, that's a political correcting of free markets, free minds, and free men, which I think might actually be an Ayn Rand thing. If you Google that, it comes up on Ayn Rand fan sites. And, I don't really think that's political correcting. I think it's, you know, men, libertarianism only for men is how that sounds to me.
Well, this could even be like a libertarian economic recovery plan. Libertarians making these cards for other libertarians to sell to libertarians.
They tried that in the 70s.
That'd be great.
They tried that in the 70s. That's why the Libertarian Party failed, is because in the 70s they were all trying to make a living selling their newsletters to each other.
Well, these are the newsletters of the 2010s.
These are the newsletters for the attention span of now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
What we need to do is turn this into a collector card game so it's more like Magic. And that way the person who spends the most on their deck always wins.
I don't know what that is. I know that people who got sick of Dungeons and Dragons played it, you know, but I don't know what is it.
It's essentially it's a card game, but rather than buying a deck and playing the game with a deck, you have to buy every card or buy packs of cards and assemble your own private deck that you compete against other people's decks with. So you could have like a very expensive, very powerful deck.
Yeah, my deck exactly. can beat up your deck.
Yeah. And it essentially just turns turns games into wars of attrition, and that just means that people are spending more, buying more game pieces.
It doesn't sound fun.
Oh, it is. Kids love it.
Kids love it. Is that magic?
It's like collecting any other thing, almost. Like I had like Pokemon cards when I was a kid, and you could fight your cards against your cards, and it was,
I did that with Marvel Magic Universe
the Gathering
trading cards.
Was way before.
Is that Magic the Gathering? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that satanic?
It is.
Doesn't that harm
all of
people?
Those like hidden insignias?
Yeah.
Magic is a 5-letter word. Pentagrams are a 5-pointed star. Is it a coincidence? I don't think so.
Freemasons run the country. Whoa.
What?
Whoa.
What? What's the whoa?
Just terrifying to think about.
Yeah. So you guys sound really good. You're coming over the Fiend Phone, huh? I love Fiend Phone, man.
I'm loving the Fiend Phone.
Yeah. It's not every show that has their own proprietary software with their show's name in it that's better than anything out there. In fact, it's not any other show. I've been really
pretty special.
Really pushing this. Oh, there's actually we released the source code. It's up on GitHub. If you go to the Fiend Phone site, fiendphone.com, if you click on the source code and legal page, it links to the source code on GitHub. We also put it on the Fiends torrent link today. So y'all can quit telling me make a Linux version and just make one. And in fact, a Fiend fan who's a Linux guy and a network programmer is working on it or looking at working on it. So things are imminent, man. The market is taking care of things. You can still go make a donation to Fiend Phone, to our Indiegogo. It helps pay the programmer because he works so hard. But yeah, man, I actually called in Free Talk Live tonight. We're going to talk about later about the topic. But Ian was like, yeah, this is Michael Dean, and he's not calling in over Fiend Phone. But I tested Fiend Phone, and it sounded great. And I'm like, I was so adamant about what I wanted to talk about that I was like, yeah. Okay, let's talk about this David Crowley thing. And I guess when we get back, we'll talk about the David Crowley thing on the Freedom Fiends. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges. Yeah!
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write WORMS in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
I was about to say something that would sound really unpolitically correct without explanation. I was going to say, you're confusing Creole languages, Creoles, with Cajuns. And Cajuns, Creole generally, as a people, contains usually some African. But Cajuns are the whitest of the white trash. Well, I just offended somebody somewhere. Well, we're not on in Louisiana, only on Sunday. So, and I'm part French Canadian. MK's part French Canadian. I'm going to say why it's okay for me to make that semi-racist joke.
You need to calm down with your racism, Michael.
I thought the antidote privilege to racism was that you had French friends. No?
Well, we got Christian Saucier. He is a French Canadian, not in derivation. He sounds like you're Frenchy. Yeah. You bet, Christian. Diana's boyfriend.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
I'm a quarter French, but the half German keeps it locked up.
Let's just talk about this because I'm reluctant to get into this David Crowley thing. We have to, but let's just have some fun. Let's just talk about fun with flags with Dr. Sheldon Cooper. So, I'm English and Irish, so I'm constantly at war with myself. And what did you say you learned about your sordid past there, Davi?
Oh, my family. I grew up thinking my entire family was Scottish and everyone in my family thinking that part of our family was Scottish. And then once we started doing the research into our tartan and what our family tartan was, we learned, oh, nope, we're British.
You know, Joseph learned the same thing, actually. He thought he had Scottish lineage, and it was English.
That's your husband.
There you go.
Yep.
So I grew up hating myself.
Not me. I love myself. I always have. And I got, you know, if you got French in your blood, you've got, you know, French Canadian, you've got secession in your blood. Because they're always trying to vote to leave Canada, but then they don't. They don't let them leave. But what they do is they mandate that everything has to be in English and French. There's actually, did you ever see that movie, Canadian Bacon, that really bad comedy with John Candy?
No.
There's a scene in it where there's some people driving a truck around Canada that has just like obscene four-letter word, you know, F-word kind of stuff, like graffiti painted on the side of it. And this Canadian cop, road hog, you know, state province trooper or whatever, pulls him over and says that they have to put the cuss words in English and French, and he gets some spray paint out of his and he helps him translate it and put it in French, because otherwise they'd have to get a ticket. And that's kind of true, man. I've interviewed those ANCAPs from Ed and Ethan from Canada. It's horrible, man, what they do to you up there with language.
I'm unfamiliar.
Wow. I'm glad we got one language here, and that's American.
American.
Yep.
So, MK, what's your you're related to Pocahontas, aren't you?
I'm related to Pocahontas. Well, yeah, I have some Native American in me, French Canadian, Irish, and Swedish.
I think that every father tells his daughter at some point, or used to, that she's related to Pocahontas. But if you told me you were related to Pocahontas, I'd kind of believe it somehow. Probably because of the fire.
No,
dancing.
My mom actually, and my grandfather, they actually can get really dark in the summer. Like, they have a much more olive complexion, darker hair.
I thought you meant like they get really moody in the summer. They could get really dark in the summer, man.
They get summer affective disorder. It's really bad.
Or sad.
Sad.
Yeah, man.
The other version of sad.
Yeah. So, Davi, where were you? What were you doing that you don't know what's going on in the world?
Where was I? What do you mean, where was
you're
I?
You're out of town this weekend. Did you go to a convention?
Oh, I was in L.A. Yeah.
What'd you do?
I went to a Muslim convention.
Ooh.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was good. I mean, it was a college, like, what is it? MSA, Muslim Student Association. And my wife was invited to speak about civil rights. And so I kind of just milled around and, you know, tried to infect some young minds.
Aren't you part Jewish too?
I'm step Jewish.
So you're also at war with yourself over that.
Well, you know, Judaism is matriarchal, right? And so my stepmother's Jewish, therefore I'm step Jewish. And so there's like there's a border, there's an apartheid wall through my office. And like the step Jewish part of me is constantly trying to encroach upon, no, none of these things.
I'm sure that, people who listen to talk radio like to do graphs and charts and figure out who's part of the Zionist conspiracy. And my late daughter was Jewish. Her mother was Jewish. So I mixed blood with someone of the tribe. So, yeah. We're just kind of joking about this because this really, it's getting up to the David Crowley thing. Because one of the things he said in the interview was that people were accusing him of being a COINTELPRO agent and a Zionist because his name is David. Like, what kind of logic is that, man? Like, you have an Old Testament name that, you know, is probably one of the most common WASP male names, you know, for mm-hmm. someone who's around 40 or 35 anyway. And that means that you're part of some conspiracy. It's insane, man. People.
Yeah, everyone named David is part of the globalist conspiracy to take
well,
over the
world. They actually said that the fact that his editor's last name was Mason meant that they were Freemasons, too.
Oh,
right.
My.
I'm sure, because everyone changes their name to Mason when they join.
Oh, my dad, you know. My dad was in the Freemasons. You can add that to the list of... he quit, though. He said it was too boring.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it.
Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Show banter, because it's as good as the show.
Ernie does.
I'm recording. Well, Ernie does.
Ernie does, and that is actually the most interesting part sometimes.
But it makes it hard to find like the thing you're actually looking for in the show sometimes.
Well, if we all just like screamed at the same time during the break, you'd be able to see it in the waveform.
There you go. When we come back, every time we come back, we'll go, blah,
as soon as it got there.
No, but then your ad would do it too. Your ad would do it where I'm going, blah, like four tracks of that. I love doing shows with you too, man. It's always fun.
It is always fun.
No homo. I love doing shows with you guys. No homo. Can I say on air that I love Derek J? No homo.
If it's true.
It is true.
So, yeah.
If it's honest and it's kind.
that guy's like the most un-PC gay guy ever in a really cool way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had a great time hosting the show with him. It was really, really awesome.
Did you say you love Derek?
Yeah, I do love Derek.
You love Derek. I am just going to start. Yeah,
it's that line from As Good As It Gets, right? If only that did it for me.
Actually, if that actually that kind of does it for me. But it used to. You know, I've done that. But Derek's not really my type.
There you go.
Although if I were drunk, I'd wreck that girl. But I don't drink.
There you go. I think I told Derek I loved him at Pork Fest, actually.
I only love him.
Memory is coming back. I might have told Davi I loved him, too. I was telling everyone I loved him at Pork Fest.
You know, love at Pork Fest stays at Pork Fest. I only love him at Pork Fest.
Yeah, my State of the Union meme from last year works
fine. We'll just keep talking, even though we're on the air, because we're recording the between ad banters now. Because
too busy talking to do a radio show.
Too busy talking to do a radio show. Oh, Derek J. So,
if you only knew what was said about you during the breaks, Derek.
Well, he will, because I recorded it. And I'm putting it in the show. Who needs the NSA? We're bugging our own homes.
Flattered.
Yeah, and it's in high quality because we have Fiend phones. So, this is the Freedom Fiends. We're talking about this guy, David Crowley, who he's a filmmaker who was working on this film for a long time. This film called Gray State. And I'm going to bury the lead here. I'm going to actually, I called in Free Talk Live about this today, and they made me wait for 40 minutes, which, you know, that's Free Talk Live. Every time I call Free Talk Live, which isn't very often, I'm on hold forever, and I'm like, why am I sitting here on hold? I'm going to be on my own radio show in like 5 hours, man, and I'm about to hang up, and then they put me on, and then they keep me on for a long time because I'm smart and I sound good because I'm, you know, have better equipment than most people or know how to use it. And Ian actually started with and it's Michael Dean, and he's not calling over Fiend Phone. He'd sound better if he did. I tried Fiend Phone the other day, and it was great, and I'm like, I was so adamant to talk about what I was talking about. I was like, okay, yeah, Fiend Phone's cool, but let's move on. And it ended after two segments, it ended with going to the break, and they said, thank you for your call. And it ended with Ian saying, well, this guy, David Crowley, you know, raised $60,000+ on Indiegogo. Where's the movie? And I'm like, come on, Ian, you've done projects. You put money into things $60,000 raised doesn't equal, oh, right. Time, 4 weeks later, here's your completed movie. No, he was working on a movie that should have had a $30 to $100 million budget. And David Crowley had made this trailer for $6,000 that looked like $1 million. It looked like better than Hollywood. And it was for this thing called Gray State, which was kind of like Red Dawn if the enemy were the U.S. federal government instead of the Russians or the Koreans, North Koreans. And it blew me away. I saw it and I was like, man, this guy's such a talented filmmaker. And I got a hold of him and called him up 2 years ago and interviewed him. and talked to him for like 40 minutes before the interview. And then did like a 30 minutes probably, and then did a 45 minute interview. And it was all about art. We barely talked about, at the end, we talked a little about the people who, you know, think he's a COINTELPRO agent because his name's David or something. And the loony, like, hate mail he'd gotten. But, which I think, you know, is something to look at when we're talking about the fact that this guy was found dead next to his dead wife and kid this past Saturday. There's the lead. And people are buzzing about what this was. You know, there's really two camps, and there really should be three camps, and there really should be no camps. I'm agnostic about this, which is basically, you shouldn't be saying you're absolutely sure. There are people who are saying,
there's no facts out. The only facts are some police report that flippantly said, maybe it's a murder-suicide.
Well, there was also in the police report, they also mentioned that the back sliding door was ajar, which, you know, once a year, I've probably left my back door unlocked overnight. It's possible, but it sounds to me like somebody was in there. So there's two camps. There should be three camps. There should be no camps. One camp is, this was absolutely a government false flag. Someone went in and murdered him and made it look like he murdered himself and his wife and his kid and himself to discredit him, to keep his truth of his movie from coming out. Okay, the truth of his movie was just like, you know, it's kind of a fantasy thing about the government might start acting like, you know, Hitler at some point. You know,
I mean, it was a lot like Silver Circle.
I
worked on an animated film that was a very similar premise about a near future where the state gets tyrannical and there's this band of rebels that fight back. And the even the trailer, if you go look up the Silver Circle movie trailer and compare it to the Gray State trailer, they're almost the same, except one's animated and one's live action.
Well, yeah, but they're both just, you know, both of them are just Red Dawn updated. And, you know, David Crowley's Gray State was kind of a little bit like, he wasn't really a constitution licker. He was kind of like, well, that should have worked, but it didn't. And it's too late, you know, but he also really didn't absolutely like live in that mindset. It was subject matter. When he started making the movie, he didn't really believe any of it is possible. He was just like, this is an idea for a story. This would be popular. You know, this would be easy. I could make this kind of thing. And then he started researching it. He was making it. He got a little more into it. And, you know, Ian suggested the theory that at maybe 2 years later, he'd gotten so deep into it that, you know, I mean, you know, one thing I thought was maybe if that was the case, maybe he was just absolutely convinced, you know, his whole family was going to end up in like rape rooms in a FEMA camp and just decided to like spare them by killing him. But I don't buy that he did it. And there's so many people, especially in the mainstream press, but also in Liberty, just saying, oh, he was into violent imagery and here's a picture of him holding a rifle. And of course it was a murder-suicide, which is really bad.
See, people said this about Silver Circle too. They said that there was a problem with Silver Circle and that it's the depicted violence. And it's like, yeah, but
every movie ever depicts violence.
Every movie everywhere, like picks, like that's what it is, like at least action movie making. Like that doesn't strike me as credible. And then you look at the other things, like I read somewhere, you know, that he was, you know, in a dark place because he recently got a short haircut. And I'm like, you guys are grasping at straws now.
Wow.
But I don't know.
It's bizarre.
It's entirely possible some drunk cop went in to kill his wife and wandered into the wrong house.
Yeah, it could have been a home invasion gone bad or something. But they weren't found for 2 or 3 weeks. Like there were still Christmas presents on the doorstep. And finally, a neighbor was like, OK, packages are piling up. I'm going to go look in the window and saw the dead bodies and called the police. And the dog was still alive. First of all, like, would a family killer spare the dog? You know, like, oh, I'm going to leave this thing alive to eat us, you know? I mean, and not to get gruesome, but you have to consider the fact that, and the police say on the scanner, you know, there's a very angry dog inside. Like, that dog probably destroyed the evidence in the way you think he did. So there's probably, it's going to be hard to do an investigation, you know, at this point. But
I wonder if there's a thing like, if you break the thin blue line, cops will retaliate against the cops that, like, speak out. I wonder if there's a sense in which soldiers would do the same thing. Like, if it wasn't a government operation, it was just like a, you know, you broke the soldier code or something. And so, because he's a veteran.
Yeah, he was a veteran. But I don't really see how he broke the soldier code. Well, he does depict American soldiers, you know, who are certainly not Oath Keepers, quite the opposite in the trailer. Like, there are American troops, UN troops, and British troops, and FEMA, like, rounding people up to kill him. So
yeah,
maybe some soldiers.
And I'm sure he said some fiery things when he was out fundraising for the movie too. I mean, like he spoke at a number of sort of Ron Paul events and things like that.
Yeah. So. But my third, so the one theory is it was a murder suicide, and there's also an adjunct to that theory too. Maybe somebody, some government COINTEL, what it was like, you know, giving him some kind of mind control drug that made him go crazy and do that. They could do that, but
maybe it's a. Not COINTEL. What's the other one? Manchurian Candidate.
It's MK Ultra. MK Ultra was not just about LSD. It's known for the LSD program, but it was basically about mind control through drugs. Yeah, looking for like Manchurian Candidate kind of things, or they actually experimented with a gas that would make people gay. They experimented with all sorts of like nerve toxins that would and like bacteria, germs that would not kill people, but would just like make everyone have a long-term flu to like slow down the workage of the Soviets and things like that. And they ended that program by that name, and MK Lords took the name MK Ultra.
Stepped up to the mantle.
I'm sure they named it, I'm sure that they still have that program under some other name. But so that's one possibility that, it's actually what the media is saying. The other possibility is, the government did it. And the third possibility, which, my interview with him at the end of it, he was talking about how, people who like you'd think would like this movie were like sending him nasty notes and comments saying like, you're a COINTELPRO agent, you're part of the problem. Maybe one of them didn't eat his Wheaties and take his medication and decided to do something about the guy that he thought was a threat.
You know what else I found confusing about the whole thing is they keep talking about how it's this quiet little street where you'd never expect anything to happen. But here's like multiple gunshots over Christmas break in this quiet little neighborhood. But
inside a house, guns aren't going to be that loud outside a well-made house. Don't ask me how I know that.
Okay. Maybe I'm just too urban gunfire.
I'm not saying anything violent, but gunfire inside a well-made house from the next house in the winter when all the windows are shut on both houses is going to sound like a backfire a block away.
Yeah, okay. And people aren't going to necessarily want to look into that. I mean, I've lived in neighborhoods where I've heard gunshots before.
Yeah,
and I'm not, aching to, call the police or really look into it because it's like, I don't know what's going on over there.
And people fire their guns into the air all the time, too. Do you really want to talk to the police to have them go check that out? The other thing is a paid assassin, a really good assassin would probably use a silencer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm.
Yeah. Yeah, so
wondering if he maybe did use a silencer or something. I mean, he had a bunch of guns and, equipment.
Well, if he used a silencer, the police are going to find a silencer on the gun next to him. You can't shoot yourself in the head and then unscrew the silencer and stash it.
Right. Well, that detail, there wasn't a lot of details at all in any of the stories
which is why this is what I'm getting at is like we could conjecture all day long, but I don't like that people who are conjecturing are coming to absolute ideas. I'm agnostic about this. I'm tending towards he didn't do it because I talked to the guy and thought he was really full of life and I really connected with him and he was not someone who lived in a state of terror. He was not, put it this way. 2 years ago, after I'd interviewed him, let's say when Chris Cantwell started writing articles about shooting cops, if you'd asked me that day, let's make a bet. Which of these two people do you think is going to shoot all his loved ones and then himself? I would have bet you 100-1 on Chris Cantwell. There was nothing about this guy that seemed indicative of that. And you can't really know somebody from.
But you never know. I'm not sold. I'm agnostic on this too. I don't think there's enough details to come to a conclusion yet. But I will say, I think the environment of conspiracy theorism is very toxic and emotionally overwhelming for a lot of people, especially if you're a veteran who may be suffering from PTSD or something like that. You kind of get thrown into these things. Maybe he was fine a couple years ago and gradually got into it and things got darker. Or, ultimately we don't know these people. I mean, you meet someone, you hang out with them a few times, but you don't really know who they are and what they're capable of, when they've been thrown into that kind of culture. Not saying that he did or anything like that, but I'm saying, there's some key points that, I'm not,
Davi?
Well, I'm just, I just, extreme PTSD, like not like mild forms, but like an extreme case of post-traumatic stress disorder, can be sort of Manchurian Candidate-esque, where there can be a trigger that sends a person off the handle. So it'd be interesting to see what his service record is like. Like how extreme was his combat experience? Maybe that's a piece of evidence too.
Or if he was on medication for it too. I mean, that can cause irrational behavior.
This is still all conjecture, and I want to get away from that when we get back from the market. It's okay. We did our conjecture. We'll have the redemption third act after this.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Yeah, we're all sick of fiend phones. Shut up, Michael.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
You're a liar and an imposter.
What? We are. Well, we're 1,100 miles away from each other? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm talking about the other Davi.
Because it's not me. I'm right here. I do exist.
Davi's confused by the idea of recordings, isn't he?
Hey, that video of the kid after the dentist appointment who looks like he's on an acid trip asking what's real and whether or not this is a real or a fake. His name is David, so he must also be a Zionist conspiracy.
That globalist.
He's not a Zionist conspiracist. He's a Zionist conspiracy. That's what you just said. He is a Zionist conspiracy.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
I bet his name isn't even David, and he's not even on LSD.
The thing is about Old Testament names is like it doesn't prove you're Jewish or have any Jewish derivation. Like most old Protestants have Old Testament names.
Yeah.
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 Something I've noticed recently is that a whole lot of names don't make good literary names. like people with real names, you know, like they show up in the media and you're like, man, I would like to take that name and do something literary with it. It's like, man, this is a terrible name for literature.
Well, that's why every action hero or like half of them are named Jack. Jack is the perfect like everyman name. And you know, Hubert Selby Jr., all six of his books and most of his short stories, the protagonist name was Harry because he felt like that was the ultimate, you know, everyman kind of name. But I think in movies it's Jack. Like Jack just sounds it's you know, it's tough, it's no nonsense, it's just sounds like a guy who gets things done and doesn't take any guff.
Yeah. I can see that. Yeah.
There's a memorial for the people who have died off camera in the second Survivor Max book. And so as an Easter egg, I'm listing people who have been killed by police as the names on the memorial.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Interesting. I'll be right back.
A lot of them don't make good literary names. Like, you know, they sound made up.
Right. Yeah.
Shaniqua Johnson or whatever. Right. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. I was wondering, and have you heard of this? Have you heard of any sites that have, you know, where you can look up different cases of police brutality and like set up fundraisers for the families? Or like, is there any like kind of centralized site that you could do this on? I mean, I know you like people can individually start Kickstarters or GoFundMes, like, when the police attack them. But is there anything where you can like collect the stories and say, hey, these people need help with their cases because this is some messed up stuff that happens, and then do like crowdfunding campaigns for them?
Who does what? People get arrested and beg for money?
I'm asking if that exists.
If like,
I don't think that it does.
Part of a website.
Say it again.
I couldn't even find a good directory, to tell you the truth.
Say it again.
Well, like, you know all the stories on Cop Block. They're really good at reporting police brutality. But is there anything that follows up with the victims and, you know, offers to set up, like, defense funds for them or something
like
that?
I would like to see... I would like to see even more just following up on stories. Like, there's so much new tyranny all the time. Like, Nima Vidadi and I, you know, we used to have a segment called Tyranny Today, and we had a bump for it, like, Tyranny Today. And then we started having a segment called Tyranny Yesterday, where we'd find, like, something that was all in everybody's Twitter feed, you know, who's in liberty, like, a year ago, and then try to follow up on what happened. Because it's really easy to forget about that kind of stuff. You know, like, this week, it's all Ross Ulbricht. But what about... you know, what about the guy that's in jail for selling silver rounds, you know?
Or what about the other people arrested in the Silk Road case? Like, I don't even know their names.
Right.
Free Talk Live covered some of that today, but, you know, they did, they cover anything Bitcoin really, really heavily.
Yeah.
But they even had, I was reading a blog post about another one of the admins who was busted and was trying to get help for his defense fund. And but yeah, I mean, it would be cool to have like a site and you have these police brutality stories and you can like vote on like, hey, these people need the most help. Let's set up a defense fund for them. Or like, hey, let's donate Bitcoin to this address. It'll go to the family to help.
Not even a
expenses
defense fund.
Things.
Like
not even
their
defense,
breadwinner
just a fund
was
for,
murdered.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
No, like a fund. Like, not even a defense fund. It would be a fund for anything. Like it just,
yeah.
here's some
a genius
money.
Grant.
Like have some.
It'd be a genius,
you know?
Grant. And we're just too busy talking to Deep Talk Radio. I think that should be the okay. I liked ripping off Reason's logo, Reason's motto, free minds, free markets, but it's not a very good motto, you know? So I think ours should be Freedom Fiends. We're too busy talking to do talk radio. That's not a very good selling point either, is it?
It's all right.
If you haven't heard the show, you know, so we're talking about this guy, David Crowley, who was found dead in his house. And here's the thing. I want to lean towards agnosticism on this because I think that if you say absolutely, I am positive this was a false flag, my question to you is, so you were there and you were part of the false flag? Mm-hmm. Seriously, man.
Right.
Anybody, the only people who knows what happened are dead or were in the room doing it. So anybody who says they're 100% sure, you're a very suspect person.
But that's a lot of conspiracy people who say they're 100% sure about that such and such is a false flag or this didn't actually happen. And they have no evidence. They just believe it because someone has told them that. And,
well, that's the
know.
Default, right?
Well, that's the fluoride in the water that's making the hamster in their brain upset that makes them be absolutely sure of those things. And, you know, really, I think what a lot of it is the thing Davi and I talked about at one point of the hamster in your brain, you know, the obsession gene, the obsession part of your brain that's actually a identifiable part of your brain. And I believe the government murders people. I believe the government has done false flags. It's fact that the U.S. got into the Vietnam War over a false flag. That's public record. It's pretty much fact that the U.S. got into the Iraq War over false information, although, you know, government still claims that they didn't know. But the you know, the Gulf of Tonkin thing, like the government admits that was a false flag. So the government kills people. But,
well, and I mean, they specifically target individuals. I read this article today about Harry Anslinger specifically targeting Billie Holiday.
Yeah.
Just ruining her life.
He was the buzzkill police,
several
man.
Several times
he invented,
in a row.
He invented the war on drugs.
Arrested her on a hospital bed. I mean, the most crazy stuff you could think of. Yeah, they target individuals. And
yeah, it happens all the time. You know, they were targeting John Lennon, too. You know, there's a conspiracy theory that he was murdered by the CIA, and they waited until he was, you know, too out of the limelight to become a martyr. You know, that's one of my arguments against this guy being this being a false flag, too, is it really would be counterproductive because it's going to bring a lot more attention to his movie. And really, I talked to him, like I said in the interview, like, I pretty much know how your movie's going to end. And I said it, and he's like, that's pretty close, man. That's weird. Really, it's like the trailer kind of tells the whole story of the movie. So the movie is done, even if it's not done, you know, in the sense that like he didn't get to complete his vision. But and there's a theory, too, like Jordan Page said that that David Crowley and they were friends recently told him that David Crowley said he'd gotten like $30 million in funding to make this movie.
From a mainstream studio is what Jordan said.
Although,
so you'd think that would come out eventually. If that's true,
although
you'd think that studio
there's
might
different
out
levels.
Themselves.
There's different levels of a studio acquiring a film. Like, you know, it could be a conversation. It could be a deal memo. It could be, you know, I mean, really, if it was like if a studio had acquired this and signed papers on it and it was a done deal, they'd probably make it anyway. And they'd probably reverse the roles. They'd probably make FEMA the heroes and make the citizens the tyrants. But
they would just change the ending so that the bad guys win because it worked better with poll groups.
Yeah, and they'd you know, they'd show it as a groups. Double feature with American Sniper.
Yeah, there you go.
I was just about to say.
So the thing,
love that stuff.
I just want to point people to the idea of being agnostic about these things until the facts are in, and the facts are never all in. And like, the thing that's really upsetting me is like people in Liberty, like Derek J. Freeman was on Facebook the other day saying like, oh, I'm almost positive that, you know, it was a murder suicide. I can't see what else it could be. And I was scathing to him, and he's one of our co-hosts, and he's a good friend of mine. And, you know, I love the guy, no homo. You know, I care about him.
We say wonderful things about him during the break.
Yeah, we do. And, but, you know, I wrote to him about it. I'm like, you know, you're someone people look up to because you're, you know, kind of famous in a, you know, you're a big fish in a small pond like me. And you, people believe what you say. And when you, you know, just off the cuff say like, oh yeah, I'm pretty sure this was a, you know, murder suicide. You're helping ruin someone's reputation for life who's not around to defend it. And that's what I'm really tired of, man. So I'd encourage people to try to be a little more agnostic in their beliefs one way or the other of it's absolutely this or it's absolutely that. And I liked the guy, and I talked to him for, you know, an hour and a half, and he seemed full of life and love for life to me, man. That's all I gotta say. Anyone to get in
worms?
Okay. Worms. We'll be back for hour two of the Freedom Feeds after this trip to the free market.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squigelts from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom's Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing. Buttons! Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
So last night, like, when we did that show and recorded it, at the end of it, like, we barely timed it so it fit. Like, there was like 10 seconds of the interview left. So the show finished, and I'm still recording. And then, like, you know, Alex Jones ad comes in. And I kept recording, and I turned him down and kept recording for the podcast. And someone actually, like, wrote me and said, loved your interview, but, you know, why did you have to put that Alex Jones thing in the end? He's a COINTELPRO agent. Yeah. You know, the guy's trying to tell me that, and I'm like, I don't know, man. We're on his network. That's what comes on after we're done. And, you know, you try timing a 45-minute interview done 2 years ago to a radio clock of a 2-hour show with conversation and make it work. People say silly stuff to me all the time, man.
The internet. I have a crazy fifth theory.
What's your fifth theory?
What if it's some kind of crazy miles deep Blair Witch Project style publicity stunt?
That crossed my mind, man, and I didn't want to say it, although we're recording now, but I don't think it's possible. I don't think you could, you know, unless it's a publicity stunt where he found three bodies and let them decay in his house for 4 days, 3 weeks. Yeah. I mean, I don't think you could fake that to where the police would say it happened and report it in the paper and there'd be, you know, radio audio of it. Oh, we should play that radio in the next bit. I wanted to be done with this, but I feel like we're not. Do you guys have other topics for later?
Yeah.
Not really. I'm just going to wing it from here.
Yeah. Right,
we can talk about this then. Oh, I do need to follow up and say that, like, Derek, did I say that Derek backed off on slandering the guy? Talking ill about it? I should say that. Yeah. Freedom Fiends behind the scenes. It's weird that, like, someone would hear, like, a little bit of audio in our show at the end of it and think, like, I put that in there for some reason, you know? No, it's just how radio goes, man. There's ads. And then he said, oh, well, I guess you need to make money, you know, like, and this guy likes us, you know, but he thinks I got paid to put, you know, 4 seconds of Alex Jones interrupting an interview. I don't think I could sell that.
But that's just how deep and nefarious it goes. See, the most valuable advertising is the advertising that sounds like a mistake.
It could be a thing. What were you going to say, MK?
Well, like, you know, I get the whole, like, you know, government has tracked people and killed people and all that. But again, like, a lot of these conspiracy people automatically jump to it's a false flag, the government did it kind of thing. To people that, like, I just don't know are quite on the radar, like, they think they're being watched personally, or they think, you know...
Well, I think sometimes, I think sometimes people below the radar are being watched if they've irked their local police. You know, I could totally see like somebody who, you know, has a blog with 10 followers that writes something horrible about their local sheriff and sends it to the local sheriff, and then their sheriff is out to get them. I could see that happening.
No, I've known people that that's happened to. Yeah. Like, yeah, if you mess with the local police, like, they will definitely mess with you back. But I'm talking about, like, a, you know, the federal conspiracy to, you know, so people don't see the film or something like that. Like, I'm sure the film was going to be good. The trailer was really slick. But, I mean, it looked, you know, a lot like, you know, Alex's stuff. And, I mean, he's still around. You know, I'm just saying, like,
I think in the Satoshi Nakamoto trial, in the Silk Road trial, wouldn't it be awesome if, like, Satoshi Nakamoto just walked into the courtroom as a surprise witness, like in, like, God in the movie Oh God? Did you ever see Oh God with George Burns?
No.
It was like a Disney kind of movie in the 70s that was like, John Denver plays a supermarket clerk in Tarzana, California, who... like, gets visited by God. Like, God appears to him in his, you know, in his beater car on the way home. And it's played by George Burns. And God is played by George Burns. And he appears to him in, like, appears to him two or three times. And he mentions it to a couple people. His wife thinks he's nuts. He mentions it to a couple people. And then, like, all of a sudden, the press comes and interviews him. And then all of a sudden, there's, like, you know, devotees camped out on his yard trying to touch his garment to be healed and things like that. And he ends up, like, going to court. Like, he does, he gets, something happens and he gets sued by, I think some, oh, he gets sued because he says on TV that God told him that, like, Billy Graham or someone like Billy Graham was a fraud. And he says it and he goes to court for it. And, like, he's about to, you know, lose everything and get sued for millions of dollars and lose. And God appears in the courtroom and, like, gives a stirring speech. And that's the end of the movie.
It's like Miracle on 51st Street or whatever.
Yeah, I think it should be Miracle on the Silk Road. I think Satoshi
that
should
that song, What If God Was One of Us, start playing in the background.
Yeah, yeah. Satoshi, you know, there was something that Ben Swan did that his video guy, like, sent me a clip of a video before they released it and said, you're really good with notes. Do some free work for, you know, like, what do you think of this? Mm. Give me some notes. And I was like, yeah, I like Ben Swan. I looked at it. And I, the only note I had was, like, at the end... You know, they tell this whole story, and then there's the, kind of the redemption where Ben Swan says what you can do about it, and he's on camera. And there's music playing that sounds almost exactly like What If God Were One of Us, and I'm like, don't use that music. It sounds like you're saying Ben Swan is your savior. And they're like, good note, thanks. I do stuff like that all the time for people that have money and never get paid. Hey, hit your buff dump, both of you, please.
Boom.
And we're back. We're just too busy talking to do talk radio, I think, sometimes. We just keep talking. Yeah. Sounds kind of like Star Trek when you do that.
Star Cat.
All cats all the time. So I'm talking with Davi Parker and MK Lords. Are you there? Have you been contacted by the government people?
No. I have not been contacted by the government.
Are you safe, Megan?
I'm safe.
Cool.
They've not contacted me.
Cool. So for those of us joining us, there are a couple stations, there's four stations that only come on in hour two, or it's two stations. One is in Belle Fouche, South Dakota, and the other is in, I always have a problem remembering, Sturgis, South Dakota, the motorcycle rally town. And also it covers the thing with the president's faces, the tyrants carved into the rock. What's that called? Mount Rushmore. So if you're at Mount Rushmore at 1 a.m. and have a radio, You're probably listening to the Freedom Fiends because it's probably the only thing on up there. So we're talking about, I'll recap a little bit. We're talking about David Crowley, this filmmaker that was working on the Gray State movie that was found dead in his home last Saturday, next to his wife and kid who were dead. And the police said initially it looks like a murder-suicide. There's a lot of discussion about was it or wasn't it or what happened. And the conclusion I wanted to make people come to in my libertarian central planning is be agnostic about this kind of stuff until there's more information, or even then too, like this may never be solved because these bodies weren't found for 3 weeks. The dog was still alive in the house. Evidence is probably destroyed, to put it delicately. And you know, this is the kind of stuff police, I mean, generally, this is kind of the stuff police generally don't try too hard to find. Although I would really think this would be like a detective's dream. I mean, this is like a big case. Like detectives would be interested in this, I would think, and try to solve it. But who knows? Probably not.
That's a really good point about agnosticism. I wrote an article for my blog. It's called The Responsibility of Reticence, and it was after the Boston bombing. It's kind of saying the same thing, because the initial reports when something comes out are usually flawed. They're, not all of the information's in there. Not all of the details are in there. The police may be mistaken in a lot of things. They may not have done a thorough investigation.
Yeah.
There's so many problems with, you know, the initial media reports of really any tragic situation, and it's good to just kind of wait until things more, you know, come out and you can kind of evaluate the situation more objectively.
Good point.
Something like this, it may be very difficult, like you said, but
I think
that's a good approach.
And, you know, really there's two basic camps, and it's people who are saying it's absolutely a government flag, false flag, he was killed by the government. And my question to those people is, so you were there and you helped? Because that's the only way you can know that with 100% certainty. The other camp, which really almost disgusts me more, is like, actually, especially real liberty people, but, you know, the mainstream media too, like people who are saying, you know, it was real.
Well,
the official
story is obviously correct.
Yeah. And the official story isn't even official. The police said it looks like a murder-suicide. And all of a sudden, like, you know, you have the UK Guardian saying murder-suicide from gun nut, you know. And then you have people like Derek Jay saying, like, yeah, it looks to me like a murder-suicide. And I'm trying to discourage people from doing that, because in doing that, you are condemning someone's legacy for eternity without any proof, because you want to have some gossip and chatter and you want to have an opinion about something. And you're, you know, you want to sit around a sewing circle and go, oh, I know the truth. It must be this. Okay. So Derek Jay did that. And I talked to him about it. And I told him, I think this is really a serious mistake, man. I think you're doing a disservice to a fellow liberty person. You know, if it wasn't a guy who was into guns, and Derek like is fighting to get a gun permit right now, you know, and he's like condemning a guy because he's into guns and, you know, iconizes guns in a fictional movie that he made. And, you know, the thing is, like, Derek doesn't rush to that kind of conclusion with someone who's arrested for drugs or, you know, like, conspiring to have free speech or, you know, running a Bitcoin site, or like, he always backs those people instantly. And
I haven't seen Derek saying anything that was negative on him about being a gun owner. I mean, I didn't see him really making that claim. Does he take issue with him having guns? Because
I'm going to pull it up now that you mentioned it, because I don't want to just, you know,
it's not about owning guns. It's about glorifying violence.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what they were talking about.
It's about these like photos of him like posing with his guns and posing in his police armor. And I mean, these are props from the movie, but that's what people are saying. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen some headlines about it, and I know they're really trying to play up that angle. And yeah, that is really unfortunate. You know, these are obviously, you know, a lot of this stuff is props from the movie, in the pictures I've seen, and,
which are fun to play with. If you've ever been in a prop department, it's fun to, you know, mess around with the costumes and whatever. It doesn't mean anything.
And reuse them in different zombie movies. Oh, you know, David Crowley said he made some zombie movies. Did you hear that in the interview?
Yeah, I was going to look into that. I heard that in the interview.
He said they're student films.
You know, that's the thing.
If
there's anything to take from it at this point, I think people should keep their ear out and see whether or not somebody picks up the film project and see if there's any chance of the movie still being made, because I think regardless of how it happened, that would be the most sort of respect you could give to his legacy, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Although my plot with things like that to make things bust proof, and that's the term for, you know, a project being able to carry on if one of the main contributors gets hit by a bus. It's actually a term, bus proof. Like, it's a software term. Like, when will this project be bus proof? You know, like, Bitcoin was bus proof as soon as it was pretty much released in the public. And then there's things like MadeSafe, which are kind of like still like, well, it's got defensive patents owned by an organization. It's like, well, it's bus proof with three or four people. But, you know, like Fiendphone, we bus proofed it today. Like, we put up the, we got it to a point where the beta was really strong and really stable. I mean, we're talking over it right now. You guys are fiend phoning it in, and it sounds great. And we worked out all the bugs, and you guys helped a lot. We had a lot of people beta testing it, and we'd already been giving it away online, and where people were giving us feedback on things. And we fixed all the bugs in it, and then you know, wrote up a little thing for non-Windows programmers, and then released the source code on GitHub. And then, like, GitHub is pretty much the repository. Like, anybody can go there in public. But I'm thinking, like, you know, the government could probably get something taken off GitHub. So today I made an archive that had the source code, the program, all of the, a PDF of every page on the website, and an audio sample, which is me and Davi and Randy doing a three-way fiend phone complaining about people who say, make the Linux version now. So we made all this stuff to help people make the other versions, and so anybody can do anything with it. And we put it up on the Freedom Fiends torrent, you know, so it's out there. There's like, you know, 30 or 40 seeders of it right now. And since we don't have trackers in it, the number of seeders showing is far below the actual number of seeders. But we bus proofed it today. And I'm thinking, like, you know, if I were making a film like Gray State, I think about once a month, I'd probably be taking a hard drive of everything that's been done on it with all the original media to like four friends' houses and exchanging with other hard drives. And,
yeah, I was wondering about that. If he has a team, because I noticed his production company in the trailer is called Hothead Productions, and which is kind of ironic. But I was reading in another article that he recently, it was a couple months ago, split with his business partner. I think that was helping him with the documentary, and hadn't talked in a few months.
Well, that brings in other conspiracy theories too. I mean, I'm not implying,
not trying to fuel more conspiracy theories, but that was just something that I did read.
Not implying anything about his business partner, but I will say I watch a lot of cop dramas and movies, and I mean everything from like Fletch to an episode of The Shield to episodes of Law and Order. That's an old thing they go to all the time of like, you know, somebody cheated their business partner out of money and then their business partner murdered him or something. I'm not saying that happened, but that's a pretty common thing in TV.
That's another theory. I haven't heard that one.
Yeah.
That would be unfortunate.
I don't
be curious to see. I mean, if, you know, if they had some block. I mean, I know he didn't do the fundraiser in Bitcoin, but some blockchain accounting to see where funds
really,
may
really
have
quick.
Gone,
we're running out of time here. I'm going to play this police scanner audio before we run out of time. So, this is the police being told to go over to his house and check it out. This is going to go to the ad, so you guys can have a smoke.
2933 Sam 14 for suspicion, 1055 Ramsdale Drive. Cop reporting suspicious behavior next door. Went over to the home. To the right of the RP, sees dead bodies inside the house. Dog inside, sees a gun in the house on the floor.
933, copy. Sam 14, copy.
2933 additional.
Right.
According to the RP, residents have been out of town since before Christmas. Now there are Christmas presents out front, a dog inside, and what looks like possibly bodies inside, a gun laying on the floor inside.
Copy.
Want me to start medics?
You can start them. I'll be en route in about 1 minute.
Receive. Wait, Antoine, you can put me on that call. Just 10 minutes, and I'll have comments later.
What? Sam 14, you said medic stage.
Of the residence where the bodies are is 1051. 1051.
Send you a pass to action hit and run, Curd River Ridge Apartments.
Copy.
1303.
Sam 14, I'm out.
Sam 4, 1305.
49 Sam 14.
49 Sam 14.
Stand by, man.
Sam 4. 2920, I'm out.
934, send me to Ramsdale Hall. 49, Sam 14.
49, Sam 14.
There's several, obviously, deceased bodies in the front. Why don't you give us 1033, wait for 34 to get here, and we'll make entry.
Traffic for 4900 squads. All others go to TAC 10. 1033, 4900, 1307.
1034,
still on the 49
Sam 14. 49
Sam 14.
Do you have our CSO come with his catch pole as well? So, very angry dog inside.
10-4, 49 Charlie 1, copy, I'll clear you.
4933, rear slider is unlocked, slightly ajar.
Copy, rear slider unlocked, slightly ajar.
Charlie 1, copy.
Aha.
33F2.
33F2.
Okay, just let Apple Valley know if they get busy with pending calls, we can help out.
10-4.
All right, we'll play the other half of that when we get back on the Freedom Fiends. That is audio police scanner of the discovery of the police discovery of the bodies of David Crowley and family. About a half mile from Genesis Communications Network, our network. It's in the same neighborhood.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Is your child defiant?
Independent. Did you guys know that?
I did not know that.
Nope.
Yep.
So did they shoot the dog?
I don't think so. They said bring a catch pole. That's the thing that has the like noose, you know, like the thing on the end to put around their neck.
Oh, okay.
Wow, that's bizarre, because, I mean, an aggressive dog, I mean, yeah, that's like a prime candidate to be shot by the cops.
They're, you know,
I mean, they shoot puppies and stuff that aren't even...
They probably handle a multiple family homicide. They probably handle a multiple family homicide generally more with velvet gloves than, you know, something, you know, where they go shoot dogs. I mean, it just, it's the kind of thing where they know the press's eyes are going to be on them too, you know?
Yeah. It's also not a call of a dangerous situation, right?
Right. Well,
it's a call of like random suspicion.
Something. No, the neighbor said he looked, looked through the window and said he saw dead bodies and a gun.
That would be kind of urgent. I mean,
it could be urgent. It could not be urgent. But, you know, he probably, who knows if he could see if they'd been dead a while or not.
Well, that's true, too. It could be a recent injury.
Yeah. I mean, it could be, you know, a person in need of medical help. But so I still forgot to say, didn't I, that Derek had backed down on this, right?
I think you did.
Did I say that?
Maybe you didn't say it as much as you wanted to.
I think maybe you said it off air.
Okay, then I'll say it on air.
Did you say it on air?
I'm going to find what Derek said, too, because MK said I was wrong, basically, and I want to say...
Well, no, I didn't say you're wrong. I just hadn't seen that.
I want to use his real world. His real words.
I mean, I'd seen a couple posts from him, but maybe I missed one.
Derek J. thought it was really suspect that, like, you know, nobody had come by his house in a couple weeks, like that meant something, like, oh, he was a loner. And I'm like, if you know, nobody would, if DJ didn't show up for work for a few days, her boss would probably come over and look in the window. But other than that, there's nobody in this town that would miss us.
They're both self-employed.
Yeah, man.
She's an independent contractor dietitian and he's making a movie. Maybe they probably don't have professions to wonder where they are.
Mm-hmm.
5-year-old daughter, probably not in school yet.
Yep. Well, it's vacation too. It's Christmas vacation.
It reiterates the importance of a Warren Canary.
It reiterates the importance of government school.
Right. Now, see, if our federal family had them in daycare, then you know, this whole thing could have been avoided.
I'm looking at Derek's profile. I guess the raw, uncut version of the movie was released.
Oh, it's a documentary about the inspiration for the movie. It's not the movie itself.
I see that. No, all right.
Which is in and of itself probably the more important thing.
Interesting.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. I've been working with computer programmer Derek Slopey to create Fiend Phone. I'm using Fiend Phone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, open-source software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try the Windows beta version of FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com. But we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com and join the conversation, because if you don't, you'll set Liberty back 2,500 years.
That's FiendPhone.com. FiendPhone.com. Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, phone.com.
FiendPhone. I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Oh, you're saying the documentary is more important than the film?
Yeah, kind of.
There's a few films where the documentary is better than the movie. One is Coven. You ever seen Coven, an American movie? American movie is the story of this guy who's obsessed trying to make this movie called Coven. And he says it's not pronounced Coven, it's Coven. And it's a scary movie, you know, kind of a monster movie, low-budget movie. And we're back, but we're too busy talking to do talk radio. So we're talking about how sometimes the documentary is more important than the movie. I'm talking about American Movie, which is about the movie Coven. And Coven is a horrible movie. An American Movie, the documentary about the making of it, is a great movie. So I found some things Derek J said. He said of David Crowley, he said, unstable guy who brought his vision of violence against the government to the screen. You know, I could say the same thing if I only saw Derek J's trailer for Victimless Crime Spree. I'd be like, man, this guy just loves cops. I don't know. If I didn't know him, you know, and I love that movie.
It's not violent.
Yeah, but I would, you could judge him by that trailer pretty harshly if you didn't know him. And I actually like got that movie distribution. I got it a DVD deal. And
I was actually amazed how much Derek is just like the person in the documentary when I met Derek in person.
Yeah. And the thing is, though, that's a documentary and this is a drama. Like, I don't like people judging someone on fiction they make, you know, it's fiction, man. So Derek said, unstable guy who brought
you'd think I fantasize about cannibalism all the time.
Yeah, man. And zombie and shooting the undead. So he said, unstable guy who brought his vision of violence against the government to the screen. Nobody checked on him or his family in over 3 weeks as they rotted. His movie was nowhere near completion over 2 years after raising $60,000 for, quote, pre-production costs, unquote. So first, let me go by that one by one. Unstable guy who brought his vision of violence against the government to the screen. That's ridiculous. I mean,
There's nothing to suggest he was unstable.
Yeah. And, you know, Derek didn't go check out any interviews with this guy. He didn't read anything by him. He didn't listen to anything by him. He just wrote him off. Then he said nobody checked on him and his family for over 3 weeks as they rotted. What did you guys say about that?
Oh, well, they were both independent contractors. She was a dietitian that was self-employed, and he was making a movie, and he was self-employed. And the kid is 5 years old and probably not in school yet, so maybe there's a babysitter or something or, that wonders why.
Or it's Christmas vacation if he is in school, you know?
Well, yeah. And even the Christmas holidays, people are going to be maybe, you know, spending more time with their families, maybe not making as many plans with other people, just, you know, trying to get things ready.
Considering the number of people in the Liberty community that don't celebrate Christmas and don't spend Christmas with family, I mean, that doesn't make you antisocial.
I live in a windowless bunker, man. That's what Ian says. And, you know, if my wife didn't show up for work after a couple of days, her boss would probably come over and look in the window. But other than that, there are zero people in this town who'd be like, where are the deans? And I like it that way. You know, I certainly don't think it's freaky that somebody doesn't see that. You know, I think it's freaky if you never leave your house, but I leave my house, like you go to the store and stuff, but nobody at the store goes, hey, Michael, what's up? You know, I like being anonymous. So,
and you know, artists, it's interesting. Nobody like in my immediate vicinity would probably like go nuts if I disappeared, but the internet might go crazy.
It would. Yeah. There you go. So I do want to say that, like, I talked to Derek about this. Well, let me read another one. You know, the government has cried wolf too many times to be believed, but this isn't about melting steel. The murder-suicide, while very sad and surprising, is a totally plausible story. I don't see any evidence to suggest otherwise. You know, evidence, I mean,
it is a plausible story.
Yeah,
but there's no evidence to suggest it either.
There is evidence. I mean, the police scanner that we just played, they said that the back slider door was open. You know, that's interesting. That's not being reported a lot. But, you know, and I would say evidence too. Evidence is different than proof. And people who are into conspiracy stuff always find some evidence and say it's proof, and that really disgusts me. But, and I'm not saying Derek is a conspiracy person. He's not, and I'm not either. But,
well, you know, an open sliding glass door is consistent with either theory.
Well, it's definitely consistent with somebody else did it, but how is it consistent with he did it?
Well, if it's a murder-suicide, right?
I think Derek J. Did it. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
He
Come on, laugh, man. That's funny. You gotta laugh.
You think Derek J. did it?
Yeah. Okay. You can't let that one go and think just that's keep very talking. Likely. Okay.
You know, say there's a scuffle. Say it's not just like an easy execution-style murder-suicide. Say she runs. Say she runs into the backyard. She doesn't close the sliding glass door when she's trying to get out. Maybe he shoots her in the middle of opening it to run. Maybe... You know what I mean? Like if there's a scuffle, there's a reason for doors to be open and disheveled.
Anyway.
Or maybe the child was trying to get away. I mean, yeah, I was about to say the same thing.
Okay, but
thing,
we're,
you know,
we're definitely back to doing what I'm trying not to do.
Well, I'm not saying it's evidence. I'm saying it's consistent with either theory.
Yeah. Okay, so so he says I haven't, but I still, I'm really disgusted with what he wrote when he says like, he sounds like he's already decided, and he's saying like, the guy was into violent, scary stuff, and I don't see any evidence to say it was anything other than a murder-suicide. Like you said, there is real no evidence. There is, you know, the police showed up, they found the dead bodies, they reported that. And I do want to say, this is really important, let me get this in. Derek has backpedaled on this and said, you know, he listened to the interview, said, thank you for your dedication to truth and patience with me. I probably shot my mouth off too soon about the whole thing, but now I take a more reserved approach on Peace News Now. I win.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Now that the elections are over and liberty
has... Yeah. Sorry if I'm interrupting you guys a lot on this. I'm really passionate about it, and I have something really important to say, and I want it to be clear. And some of the stuff keeps steering it in the direction of unclearness, I think.
Well, that's fine. I mean, you know, I'm pretty agnostic about the whole thing. I think, you know, maybe a lot of the... reaction in the other direction that just going by the official story is just a reaction to people so quickly jumping on the, oh, it's a false flag bandwagon thing. I think a lot of people, you know, find that speculation annoying or even disrespectful in its own way and react to it.
Both camps are kind of like fighting tooth and nail, like they know the truth on comments, even on like mainstream media sites. You know, there's like, people are like, this is absolutely the government. And someone else is like, oh, how's your tinfoil hat? Did you take your medication today? You know, like that kind of back and forth. It just really disgusts me when people make like, you know, people are treating this like it's a story about the Kardashians, you know, getting in a spitting fight or something. Although really, I've just given up on trying to correct people's opinion. Even though I have a loud microphone here, it's useless. People are idiots.
What else is the internet for?
Right?
Preach it, Brother Davi. Preach it.
That's the entire purpose of the internet, is to correct people's opinions. It's the information age.
That's the killer app that makes people get computing devices. They get to yell. That's the killer app. You know what a killer app is, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's an app that makes you buy the hardware. Well, the killer app of getting on the internet with any device, of buying this stuff to get on the internet and paying for the internet access, is being able to yell at other people safely.
Although I watched a documentary on the history of the modem or whatever.
BBS? BBS? That one?
Yeah, BBS. And there was a whole thing about like when people started being trolls on the BBS.
We could talk about that. That was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. I didn't finish it though. I saw maybe three of the eight parts.
Yeah, it's long. There was a section on like platform wars back in the day, like Commodore 64 versus, you know, some other thing that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the first women in BBSs.
Yeah.
How it changed everything.
Yeah, because all of a sudden, like, everybody wanted to talk to them. Okay, when we get back, I'm going to play the rest of this, this 2 more minutes of this police scanner audio. So okay. If you guys want to go get a snack or something, you can. 2 minutes. This is 3 more minutes, actually. Are we back yet?
Show many other
no.
formulas.
Alex Jones is talking. We're not back.
2 minutes. No.
Yeah, I don't know.
You what?
Yeah, I don't know. I might step away from that. I don't know if I don't really want to hear the recording, you know? Like, that to me is kind of like a... I don't know. I know it's the official recording and stuff, but it's almost like too doomish for me, I guess.
You don't have to. Listen, you can be excused. You can go to the lunchroom.
I'll probably hang out here, but...
I am recording this, and in the future, I'll tell you. We'll see if people like this or not. I don't know. They might be bored by it. If I were wanting to like make radio, I'd be fascinated by this. And you know, everything that's made by the guy that makes The Newsroom, they always have the behind the scenes stuff in The Newsroom. So he makes it sexy. What's his name? Aaron, not Aaron Schwartz. Who made that? Who made The Newsroom? Who made
the comedian? You mean?
No, the writer that made, The Newsroom, and the guy that does the walk and talks all the time.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name.
Yeah, he made, what else is there? So did I say that Derek backpedaled or stepped back, right?
Yes, you did. Yeah. You mm-hmm. definitely did that.
Okay.
866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL.
Yep. Aaron Sorkin. That's the name I was looking for. I used to date this girl that said I looked like Stockard Channing, and I didn't know what that was. I looked it up, and I'm like, I don't look anything like that lady. You're insane. But, you know, she was dating me, so she probably was a little nuts. Back then, you'd have to be. So I'm going to play the other 2.5 minutes of this police scanner recording of the finding of the bodies. And then we can talk for a couple minutes about it. And then I just want to play some cards against libertarians against humanity. So y'all are excused. If this is, if this worries you, you can leave. All right, here we go. Is anyone worried? Does anyone want to leave?
No, I'm not worried.
I'm okay.
All right, here we go.
Copy. 4-9-34-7-6. 10-4. 35-17, I copied. I'll take care of it.
10-4, thank you.
49-7-14.
We're going to make entry as soon as CSO can get here and clear this dog.
10-4. 32-11 for 3-3, vehicle 10-50, display in pilot.
11, I copy.
And they're pulling into the gas station.
10-4.
13-15.
34 to C1 on the main. Go for C1. Winter 20. Right around the corner. All right, when you get here, bring your pull over and back. Copy.
49-34. 49-34.
Do you make an entry into the house?
I'll be making entry. So far.
49-14.
49-14.
First floor search complete. 3 obviously dead. We're in the basement.
10-4. First floor search now in the basement.
49-34.
49-34.
For code 4, let's just keep the channel for a little bit.
10-4, code 4, keeping the channel. 49-34.
Go ahead.
Can Alina clear or do you want him in?
Sorry, Alina can clear.
10-4, Alina clearing.
49-SAM-14. 49-SAM-14. Page out, all investigators. And go to our PD. I'll be in contact with 901 here shortly.
10-4, page out, all investigators.
34. We don't need to block off the street. Just put your squad there.
35-1. I'll be in the area. I go to your PDF. 10-4.
13-38.
Yeah, I see. 101, I'm also on the area.
10-4.
49-SAM-14.
49-SAM-14.
We get BCA call. Have them call the number on my login screen, please.
49-SAM-14, are you calling?
49 Sam 14, you can clear 1033, and we'll take an attack channel from the Alpha Valley Squad.
10-4.
All right.
Clearing 1033 traffic, and 4900 squads will move to TAC 11. Clear 1033. No traffic. Time of the call, 1345.
All right. So that was the whole recording that's up of the police scanner from the finding of David Crowley's body and his wife and kid's body. You know, I mean, not a whole lot of information in that 6 minutes there, but, you know, the interesting fact that the slider was open, but that doesn't prove anything. But I just wanted to play that because I mentioned that I was going to play it last night and never got around to it because we were chatting between playing this interview with David Crowley from 2 years ago that actually like finished up like 10 seconds after the show was over, and the recording of it has like the ads that came in at the end. But so you guys got any more comments before we go? I would like to talk a little more about the charge to try to be agnostic about being absolutely sure. Yeah, you had some comments on that, MK.
Yeah, you know, this is something where the details don't come out till a little bit later. I mean, I think all of us don't really trust the police to thoroughly investigate everything they're handed. I mean, I don't generally regard a whole lot of investigations as competent, but that, I don't know. They may look into this one and more details may come out. I would like to see where the money for the Kickstarter went or the fundraising campaign
that,
he had.
That thing too.
And see if his business partners come out and like, say something about, you know, how they knew him or, you know, the relationships he had with real people.
The thing about the money, and that was something that Derek brought up, like, where's the money kind of thing. And Ian said something about that today, too, when I called into Free Talk Live. And it's like $60,000 is nothing for 2 years of making a movie. I mean, I think it would be legitimate if he'd taken that money and spent it on living expenses and worked on the movie, you know, if he had the movie.
Oh, yeah. No, that's fine. I mean, I'm just curious, you know, to hear from his business partners who were making the movie, you know, how well they knew him and if he was having any problems leading up to this. I mean, maybe there were some personal problems he was going through that, you know, we just don't know about. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, we don't know, and we should reserve judgment until more details come out and a clearer picture can be made.
Yeah, and I'm sure that the people who've decided absolutely one way or the other will say that the details are faked. I predict that.
Sure. I mean, that's, you know, that's a part of that culture, of the conspiracy theorist culture. And I don't know that it's particularly healthy to think in that way. But, you know, that's the culture he was in. That obviously, that's the movie that he was trying to make. And, yeah, it's kind of a bizarre place. I mean, I was kind of into some of that stuff for a while. It's kind of dark, you know. It can be a bit overwhelming.
It'd make a good movie.
Yeah.
What, his story would make the story of this death would make a good movie?
No, there's even though I'm not into the like FEMA camps conspiracy stuff and I'm not into the like the doom porn, right? But I it would still make a good movie. Like I go to mainstream movies if they look like they have liberty themes because I like to see that, even if they're not explicitly libertarian, right? Like I go to the Hunger Games and I enjoy it, even though like
it's girl dystopian. It's people shooting at the government too, and
yeah,
and people have no problem with that. Like nobody says, "Oh, the creators of that must be horrible." Although actually, there's a weird connection of that kid that shot a bunch of people in South in San Diego. What was his name? Elliot Roger. Yeah, two first names. I knew that. His dad was like a second unit cameraman on the Hunger Games. But, you know, I don't think anybody serious took any serious connection of that. But I still maintain that this movie is not doom porn. It's, you know, it's basically the Hunger Games, but it's not set in a dystopian future. It's set in now. And David Crowley actually talked about this in the interview I did with him, which you can go to the Freedom Fiend site and go to the show that's up from yesterday and listen to that, or go to the link to the kittyfeet.com link of where it was, you know, the original uncut, uncommented on version. And he talks about that. He's like, some of the, you know, almost threatening comments that people made to him seemed to be on the fact that he had set this dystopia in not even the not too distant future, but you know, like something that looks exactly like now. And, you know, it wasn't foreigners parachuting into Colorado at a field and shooting everyone in the schoolyard like in Red Dawn. And it wasn't, you know, the Hunger Games, which is this distant kind of future utopia. It was, you know, it was like now, like a couple of years from now or a few years down the line. Like the point he made was like, you know, the enemy in this, the FEMA people that are guillotining people and, you know, shooting dissidents and trying to control crowds because they've cut off all the food supply, that they're not coming in from somewhere else. They're driving in from down the street. They live in your town. They're your neighbors. And that really upset people, that people have no problem with a dystopia if it seems several steps removed from the current reality, but his movie was not.
So, but that is something that you, it's a recurring theme in the conspiracy theorist milieu, I guess, just this belief that it's imminent, you know, this is crackdown by the government. You do see it in a lot of ways with the police state. Yeah, I mean, go just reading Cop Block for a day. I mean, just reading through all of the stories of police brutality, things like that, and how the police are getting militarized. It definitely feels like things are moving very quickly. And yeah. I could see why some people would think that the collapse is kind of imminent. And they've been selling this kind of story for a long time, too. I mean, the people who do peddle the doom horn, I mean, they've been saying the world's going to end, you know, next month for how many years now?
It's hard, you know,
there's genuine belief.
And people make a lot of money off of that, too. But it's not hard to believe that it's possible next year, any year from now, going back to like the 50s, probably, you know. And the thing is, like, we're really kind of in the gray state now in a way, but it's just isolated incidences, you know, like the things you read about on Cop Block, like, you know, they break into the wrong house and they shoot grandma because somebody put the wrong number on the warrant kind of thing. Or, you know, police pull people over and end up butt searching them, you know, and like harming them in a hospital because they, you know, were scratching their butt because they were driving a long time. But really what the gray state is like kind of that as an institutionalized policy all across the land all day, every day, you know. And it's to people who believe the government is fine and good, it's impossible to believe that could happen. And people who believe the government is not fine and good, it's not that hard to go to, you know, martial law could be declared at any moment.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's imminent. But I also don't think that it means you're a bad person or it's any indication that you probably killed your family if you happen to be a filmmaker who's working in that kind of direction, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I definitely agree with that.
And the thing is, there's kind of a bias, too. Like if a Hollywood director of action movies, you know, where people get shot all day, every day, you know, was found dead in it with his family in his Hollywood Hills home, there'd be a lot less percentage of people reading that story and saying, oh, it's because he made violent movies.
Well, something I do want to point out is he was in the military, and I don't know the extent of his service, but service members often experience higher rates of PTSD. They do exhibit higher rates of violence.
You're getting back into what I'm not.
But I'm just saying, like, if you're going to, you know, kind of continue that side, I think it's important to note that there is a problem. The greater problem is war. It's these people coming back who can't receive the proper medical care for what they've gone through, and they don't know how to deal with these feelings. And, you know, where's the help for them? You know, that's kind of where I was going. You know, these people are coming back. You know, war is obviously still ongoing. It's constantly going, and it just seems like things are getting worse. I mean, even people who fly the drones have PTSD, people who aren't even in direct combat. So it's an issue that needs to be addressed.
We'll be back on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Hey! Yeah, this is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiends. And since this is a teaching hospital, I'm going to point out about what I didn't like about that last segment. I will talk with MK at some point on this show, next time she's on, if she wants to. I will talk for 2 hours about how vets are mistreated and how bad war is. I agree with both those things. And I just felt like it was trying to bookend a different topic into something where I was trying to conclude something. And the conclusion I wanted to come to was kind of sidetracked by, oh, and he was a vet. He had PTSD. He could have PTSD, which to me just sounds like going back into the argument I'm trying to get everyone away from, which is, well, maybe he did it, you know? So I really want to stress that the bottom line point on this whole episode, this whole show, and this show being an extension of yesterday's show, is I think it's a bad idea when something big and terrible happens to talk about it the way a lot of people have, which is to make strong statements one way or the other. It kind of reminds me of people talking about what the Kardashians did last night. And this isn't people on TV, on reality TV, throwing things at each other. This is people are dead, and the way that they died is about the worst way you could be found dead. I will say this. Okay, I'm gonna play devil's advocate for a minute after I said I don't like it. If you were going to false flag someone who professed liberty, the worst thing you could do to them is do what, you know, is kill them and make it look like they killed their family, their wife and kid. That's the worst thing you could do. That's worse than planting kiddie porn on their computer. That's worse than planting a kilo of cocaine in their truck. That's the worst thing you could possibly do. So I can see why people say, oh, it might be a false flag. And I can also see people say why it could be real. But I'm really disgusted as someone who like kind of knew the guy a little bit and talked to him and just really had a high opinion of him. I mean, I wanted him to succeed. If you listen to that interview with him, I was cheering him on. I was like, man, I really hope you get this done. And I'm not like that on interviews. I don't usually do interviews. And I'm usually kind of like, yeah, whatever, tell me about your thing. But I was like really amped for this guy because it wasn't because of the topic of his movie. It was because of his artistic ability and his ability to create gold out of like no money. And that's a pretty rare thing, and I have a lot of respect for it. So that's all I'm saying, man, is don't rush to judge and condemn someone in history for life by saying, yeah, he did it. He did it. Or, you know, and don't immediately. And I guess the thing about conspiracies is, and we can talk about this. Let's get off the subject of David Crowley, but let's talk about conspiracies. Someone actually wrote me today and said, like, I love your show, but I really wish you'd be more open to conspiracy theories. And I'm like, I'm open to conspiracy theories, man. I'm just really disgusted by the things that are nowhere near proof that are presented as proof by people who are religious about their belief in conspiracy theories. I think it's ridiculous. What do you guys think?
Well, yeah, we did a whole episode basically talking about the conspiracy theory that was the takedown of the Black Panthers and other civil rights groups. So I think we're all pretty open to provable conspiracies because there have been a lot of conspiracies done on groups and individuals by the government all throughout history.
Yeah, and some of that's actually come out. Some of that's actually come out in FOIA requests as having been, you know, real. And the funny thing is too, like, calling someone a conspiracy theorist is kind of like calling them a child molester. It's like, it is an ultimate ad hominem. It's, I don't believe anything that comes out of your mouth because I've labeled you thus, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you guys want to play some,
I guess think of all the errors that we wouldn't have made or that you might not as the listener have made if you hadn't accepted the first headline on every tragedy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they're always wrong. They are always wrong.
They are, yes.
Yeah. And we've had Nima Vedati used to be a co-host on the show. He started the show with me, and he worked in the mainstream media. And he has, if you want to go Google this or search it on the Freedom Fiend site, an insider's view, something like insider look at the mainstream media, because he lays it out how it works. It's not as conspiratorial as you think, but it does have the results of not telling the truth that you think, but there's different reasons for it. It's not a grand scheme. It's just, it's basically access to the police. If you say bad things in the news about the police, you'll never get to, you know, talk to them on camera again or get any information from them. All right, it's been a good, weird show, y'all.
Worms.
Worms.
Worms.